dedication to the common good, we give you thanks. Now we ask that your spirit be among them and with them as they plan, discuss, deal with, and wrestle with issues that are relevant to the people here on the island and those who visit it. Grant them your grace as we ask it in your holy name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. We all like to stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Do we have...
Hello, Kathleen.
Do we have any changes to the consent agenda, anybody? Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
I would like to request that we take number 4 off and put that under, I don't know if you want to call it new business or old business, because we have done this before. But, the job descriptions for recreation coordinator, finance specialist, utilities manager, deputy town clerk, and town clerk job descriptions. And discuss it later in the meeting, please.
Number 5 under old business?
Number 4. Oh, number
old
5.
Old business is fine with me.
Okay. Is that the only change?
Make a move we have. Accept the agenda as revised with number 5 under old business.
Number 4.
To be number 5 under old business.
Thank you.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All right, change that. Under. Oh, yes, yeah, we have to vote to excuse Steve. He is at his son's orientation for high school. So,
make a motion to excuse Commissioner Paglin.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. There you go, Nancy. Adoption of the agenda. I have a couple of changes. Jennifer will be here in Michelle Hackman's place. And we have the young lady from the Board of Realtors here with us, so thank you. And she'll be having a little talk with us. And of course, Jim Dugan will give the Beach Waterway and report as number 5 under persons to address council. And I think that's all I have. Any changes you had in the rest of it?
No, sir.
All right. Make a motion.
Make a motion to adopt the agenda with the changes to personnel to address council.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you. All right. Approval of the consent agenda items. Just one word in here. Brant has gone to work with Lowe's, and Butch Von Cannon is having some health problems. So we lost these two off of our marketing committee. And Pat Triplett, I really don't know. Nancy, do you have any idea why she's... Okay. All right. Do I have a motion?
We've approved the agenda. We're ready to go, sir.
We're ready for persons to address council.
Persons to address council. And Jennifer, if you'll get up and tell us your full name and where you live. Yeah.
Okay.
Well, you can, yeah. And tell us what you want.
First, thank you for allowing me to speak to you guys today. I am representing Michelle Hackman from Go Time and Hackman Events. And we are seeking approval for a half marathon to occur through Curry Beach. It starts in Carolina and goes through Curry Beach, down the boardwalk, and through a subdivision and back out to Carolina Beach. This will be in addition to the Island of Lights Festival this year, with the proceeds going to Pleasure Island Sea Turtle
What's the date? Did you say?
December 8th. Starts at 8 a.m. That's a Sunday. It starts at 8 a.m. and should wrap up around 11. And just to be more specific, I have masks and everything if you guys want to take a look.
I wish our police chief had been here tonight.
It's this been approved by the recreation.
Oops, sorry.
And our event.
I missed it. Do I miss?
As you can see, runners will come up Dow. On the northbound lane, they will turn left on the K Street and head towards the pier. Once they hit the beach, they'll turn left on the boardwalk, which will run them right by the new oceanfront park we got built. Then when the boardwalk ends, they will turn left onto N Street and wind their way through the neighborhoods by taking a right on North 4th, left on Sandman, right on Anchorway, left on Curie Dunes, right on Ladderway, right on Settlers, and finally left on the Mackerel Lane when they head back to Carolina Beach.
So it does go through Curie Beach instead of, it says does not.
Yeah, on the under course it says the 5K course does not go into Curie Beach.
The
5K course is not, just the marathon.
Okay. Yeah.
Only the marathon.
The half marathon.
Okay.
Yeah. We will have volunteers at every turn along with signs in the neighborhoods to help direct the runners so runners will not get lost. The race starts at 8 a.m. and we will have someone follow the last runner. So as soon as the last runner goes through, we clear up the road, which really shouldn't push past 11 o'clock. Now there are two locations where the runners are going to have to cross 421, and so we're requesting that we place some Curie Beach officers at those locations to help direct traffic, and they can be there from 8:15 until about 11:15.
And so are you asking to close Dow Road, both lanes? Or are you going to do something?
Yes, we filed a permit
with
the DOT,
DOT,
and they just asked that we have written permission from Curie Beach. That says that you'll allow us to use your roads.
Will this be the first marathon on the island? Do you know? Have they had a marathon here before?
Half marathon, yes.
Oh, half marathon, I'm sorry. Mm-hmm. Sorry, half marathon. Mm-hmm. I can't remember, I'm asking. Anyone remember if we've had a half marathon?
There was one proposed, but it never happened.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Okay.
The same. We're using the same exact course that was already approved before.
Any questions? Anyway?
Has this been approved by the Recreation Commission, or has any of this information gone to either one of our staff?
We're just hearing it at this point. At least I am. I don't know if Candy's heard it or if you've heard it.
I heard it.
So yeah. Do we know if there's any conflict of interest with any other town events? Or
I don't believe we have anything December 8th.
Okay.
Yeah, I think the the fire department thing is the next weekend. I don't think it's the 8th. I can't remember. Nancy, do you remember?
The town already knows the Mickey Keeling. I mean,
we've already, the staff has already seen the roots, and I
thought
we
came to council with this
about the road closures. I can't get into the minutes.
Okay.
But
there's conflicts of anything else. Rick?
Okay. Tommy, do you have a question,
or? Yes, sir.
That's the only time you go to church in America.
Oh, well,
that's the only time. Okay. After that, I'm sorry to say, but that's the only time we lost the church, Mr. Mayor.
It's not good.
I'm sorry to say this, but that's the truth.
Okay, okay. We won't affect the church, though.
Right. It won't affect you or the churches.
All right. Let's vote on it.
Yeah, I make a motion we approve it.
Got a second?
Second.
All in favor, signal by saying aye.
Aye.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Can you just make sure and coordinate with the police chief, right?
Yes.
And Nancy, of course.
Yes.
Good. Thank you.
Thank you.
Now, we're going to hear about the Biggert Waters Act from our young man from Bay, so please step up to the microphone.
Good evening, Council. My name is Cameron Moore. I am a Government Affairs Director with BASE, which is a business alliance for sound economy. Represent the Wilmington Cape Fair Homebuilders Association here as far as tonight. I am standing in tonight for Ryan McAllister. I know you all have met him, I believe. He covers the New Hanover County, Prairie Beaches, and all the beaches in New Hanover County. I'm going to be brief, but I'm going to try to be as concise as I possibly can, and I'm also going to try to not to lose you over something that is a very large act, but a very serious, has very serious consequences and economic ramifications for our beach communities and also just our communities in general. Many of y'all have probably seen this fact sheet from the Inspections Department, probably has forwarded. I know we have had it on our updates. I know the Realtors Association has had it on their updates as well. But essentially, what we're dealing with, and I'll just briefly go through it, is that as of right now, which pretty much started January 1st, is owners of non-primary secondary residence in the special flood hazard area have basically already saw a 25% increase annually until their rates reflect basically their true risk. In other words, their rates have gone up to what essentially they should be paying based upon those insurance criteria. Come October 1st is when the full effect of the act comes into play. I'll talk a little bit about the act in just a second of what it is. That's where owners of the property that has experienced severe or repeated flooding will see that same 25% rate increase until those true rates are reflected. Also, from the business property standpoint, same thing, 25% rate increase until those rates are actually reflected. And those are all both coming October 1st. And what we're talking about is what you just referred to, Mayor Lambert, is the Biggert Waters Act of 2012. And essentially, it was stuffed into a transportation bill. Probably very hidden in that bill, questionable whether how much it was actually read. Needless to say, we have the bill in front of us. It has been adopted, it's been approved by Congress, and now we're dealing with the ramifications. The other thing that we're going to be dealing with is come October 1st, which essentially, as I mentioned before, that's when the true effect, that's when the whole act itself will come into effect, is that primary residents in the special flood hazard areas will be able to keep their subsidized rates until, and these are the factors, the property is either going to be sold, the policy is going to lapse, and they're going to have to get a new policy, or either you go through that severe repeated flood losses, or actually you go through and purchase a new policy. I know y'all seen this before, you've seen these charts, so I just wanted to briefly let you know what I was discussing. What sections I'm referring to is actually in the Biggert Waters Act. The act itself is actually a good act in the sense that it does reauthorize flood insurance. Without the act, we do not have flood insurance on our beaches in our coastal communities, and quite frankly, all over the United States. So that's the emphasis of the act itself and why it is important that we do have an act and have the reauthorization of it. The problem comes into play, though, is the Section 205, which is your pre-firm, which I addressed, that came into play January and also will come into play in October, and also your post-firm. So you've got Section 205, which is your pre-firm, post-firm is Section 207. I know you've probably heard those two numbers thrown out quite a bit. We've done some preliminary data, and I know y'all have probably seen these charts as well. I realize you cannot see anything from your vantage point right there, and I'll be more than happy to provide this to the clerk and so y'all can take a look at it. And this is just talking towards the pre-firm. In your area alone, you have 25 total affected properties. It doesn't sound like a lot, but in New Hanover County alone, we're dealing with probably about 2,000 plus properties in itself. Now, what we are doing and what we are asking of you tonight is that you have a resolution on your agenda. And in that resolution, what we're addressing is to try to come back to Congress and have them amend the act. And I'll kind of, if you can, take a look at the resolution that's before you. And if you'll just actually quickly go to the now therefore be resolved section, just so I can kind of jump into exactly what we're asking. From our vantage point and from talking with our federal lobbyists at NHB, which is the National Association of Home Builders, and also talking with the federal lobbyists at NAR, which is the National Association of Realtors, we don't believe that coming in and saying we don't want any rate increases is going to be an argument that's actually going to fly in Washington, D.C. So what we're asking is to come back in with our congressional leadership is to look at amending this. Essentially, what we have is that Katrina was a $22 billion loss. There was other losses in 8, 7, 9 billion a year along the way. And then on top of that, we had Sandy that was a 20-something billion dollar loss. Now we're having to pay that back. And essentially, the Act requires it to be paid back. It requires basically a blank check to be taken up, and we have to pay for it. That's why you're seeing the rate increases. The other thing that you also see here is that every customer that essentially holds a policy in the National Flood Insurance Program will be assessed roughly a 10% increase. So they're building that capital back into the, to make it solvent again. The problem though, as I just addressed, those Section 205, 207, we literally dealt with Sandy almost a year and a half, 2 years ago. We're now sitting at October, not even really a year and a half, and all of a sudden we've got rate increases of 25 to 30%. And we've already seen in our some of our estimates, I know that I believe that Spencer Rogers is going to be addressing y'all, if not at your next meeting or the meeting thereafter. We've already seen preliminary data from him where he is showing on Wrightsville Beach policyholders that are sitting here right now paying either $500, $800 under the subsidized rate, or maybe even a $3,000 to $5,000 policy based on where their base flood elevation is. And based upon either where they're going to sit as far as a pre-firm or if they're a post-firm and the maps come back in, we're looking at a remapping, and I'll talk about that in just real quick. We've already seen where some of those policyholders could be looking at increases that go from anywhere from $3,000 to $5,000 that they currently pay to anywhere from $15,000 to $30,000. That's yearly. And those are numbers that are essentially, if you go through the rate chart, we've already kind of verified that with some of our insurance agents in the North Topsail Beach area. We've already started to see that as well. So from a pre-firm situation, there are a lot of things, one of which when you talk about if I own a pre-firm house and I want to come in and sell that house, and now my rate increase goes up 25%, let's just say I went from, say, $2,000 to now $10,000 or $15,000, you can imagine how hard it's going to be to sell that property. This is one peel of the onion on the insurance. This is not even dealing with our windhail and storm insurance, and it's not even dealing with our HO3, this regular homeowner's insurance. So you've got that on top of this as well. So the other thing that's coming into play is that Section 207, essentially, we've got a remapping getting ready to come down. Y'all have probably already heard about it. I know that your inspections department is probably already well aware of this. And simply, there are remapping areas. We've heard in some cases that we could see some positive aspects, and I emphasize positive aspects as far as the remapping. In other words, if you're in a V-zone or a VE-zone, you could go to an AE or an A-zone, or vice versa. If you're in an AE or A-zone, you could go to an X-zone. We've also probably going to see areas that are going to be negative, to where essentially vice versa. You're going to be pushed into a new zone. We have a case in Wrightsville Beach that we're well aware of where we have a home that was built 2007. Folks, that's new construction. All day, every day, 2007. And essentially, because of where the zone is, the remapping that happened roughly about 5 years ago, actually after Floyd, we got federal money to do that, they're now teetering on that base flood elevation. That's what's going to be so key in this. And if they get remapped, essentially, which they very well might, from an AE zone to a VE zone, they're probably looking at an insurance increase. They built to the conforming standards. They built to the building code, they built to the base flood elevation, they built to every standard that was in literally books upon books upon books as far as code at the time of 2007. Now they're being going to be penalized because of literally essentially maybe a foot, a couple inches or a couple 2 feet. That's what we're dealing with. I know that it's a very expensive act, and essentially what we're asking for you tonight is your support either on this resolution, something that's essentially a cut, copy, and paste, or something very similar to it. We have quite a few communities that have already looked at this resolution and adopted this resolution. We have a lot more considering it. I'll be more than happy to run through those different names. This is a concerted effort from everyone to try to reach our congressional leadership, touch base with them, and let them know that we have a serious problem as this act gets implemented to its full force. With that, I'll be more than happy to answer any questions if you have any for me.
How many states does this affect?
Basically, it's the whole entire, anywhere that has properties are located in special flood hazard. So all your coastal states, everything close to the United States. If you're in a national flood insurance program, riverine, it's not just our coastal environment. It's not just our beach houses. In Pender County, Brunswick County, you get into Bladen County, you get into Onslow County, you go out of North Carolina, Mississippi Valley, everything that's in riverine that's in that national flood insurance program, this affects.
So have you seen the resolution that Riceville Beach adopted?
I have, yes, sir.
And so I heard you say that just opposing the act was not good. I certainly understand that. Are you concerned? Why do you think yours is better than theirs, or does it really matter, right?
Very, very good question. And Commissioner, essentially, I've talked to Tim Owens mm-hmm. as far as that resolution. We've addressed some of our concerns. And essentially, as I just started out, the way that their resolution, now therefore be resolved, they've kept that resolution. But what I will tell you is that this coming Thursday, they are looking at our resolution again. They had a conversation, I believe, at their last meeting last week. We just had some concerns with the fact that their resolution opposes the act. And then we addressed that with the mayor. We also addressed that with the town manager. And he understands our concerns. I feel safe saying that to you tonight. But that would be up to their council if they would like to amend their resolution. I will tell you that I had the folks in Holden Beach that basically flat out told me that they wanted it to be stronger. And I totally understand that. I'm giving a resolution to you and to this town that we feel is politically can actually make a difference.
Right.
That's what we're trying to do. And that's based on intel that we have and talking with our federal lawyers. I know that's a long answer.
No, no, that's the answer I was looking for. So, I mean, they don't actually oppose it. They oppose the implementation as currently adopted.
Right.
So, I mean, I just want to understand, right? Yours is a lot more complex of a resolution. In the end, they're all going to get grouped together anyway, right? So, you know, I'm glad someone's working on this. I just wanted to understand, you know, between Riceville's and yours, why you feel there's a difference, right?
Right.
Because I think, at least for myself, I think one of them's the right way to go. I'm trying to figure out which one is the one that should be the message from Curie Beach. I don't know that I have a strong feeling either way. That's why I'm asking.
What we've done in our resolution is really address the sections 205 and 207.
Right.
We honed into those sections, and that's where we address it at and try to be really specific on that.
Okay.
I have a question.
Yes.
We've known this was coming for several years now. Why now at the last minute when they're getting ready to implement it, why do the resolutions now? What, you know, I know hindsight is always better, but this is like the biggest locomotive in the country mm-hmm. going downhill. You know, are we going to stop something from occurring October 1st? Why wasn't this done 2 or 3 years ago?
Very good question as well. And what I will tell you is that I know that from the federal side, from the congressional side, that I know that our folks that work at the federal level, as well as our lobbyists, I know that Kathleen's folks that work at the National Association of Realtors were on top of this. What I will tell you, though, is that it was stuffed away in the transportation bill, and my personal opinion on it is that it's questionable whether just how much it was read into. Essentially, the act itself was stuck into another bill. So as far as actually reading the actual act and understanding what was voted on and what it meant, we would question whether that truly, across the United States, was evident. Now, why now? Because our constituents, folks, that essentially our membership that we work for, has come to us, and they are seeing the rate increases. They're already starting to feel the effects. We understand how it's going to affect them as far as a building and real estate industry. On top of that, though, because we are literally an economic driver in this area, not only Curie Beach, but New Hanover County and the region alone, it affects y'all. It's going to affect this town. It's going to affect New Hanover County. It affects tax bases. If you have somebody that essentially says, I can stomach $3,000 to $5,000, but I can't stomach $10,000 or $15,000, but I can't afford it, they have two options. They can either walk away from it, not pay it, which of course is not an option if you don't have a mortgage, or they can try to sell it and hope that somebody will essentially take a hold of that property and pay those absorbent rates.
That it? Thank you.
Thank you.
Appreciate it. Janice, please step up to the podium.
Yes.
She's forward. Right. She's just going to take just a second. So. Yes, ma'am.
Yes. Janice Barraza, 103 Lancashire, Carolina Beach. And the reason I'm here tonight is I would like to invite you and all the residents of Curie Beach. We are actually having what we call the Pleasure Island Day of Hope. It's a cancer fundraiser event. which is going to take place at the boardwalk on September 18th at 5:30. What it is, it's the Pink Heels Tour. It's a national tour of fire engines, a lot of vehicles. And they have asked us to come to Pleasure Island with their national tour. It's quite an honor to be asked to do this. So being that we are Pleasure Island Day of Hope, we also wanted to include Perry Beach. We would like to have one of your fire engines, because they're going to be escorted into onto the island. And I think Alan Griffith, our fire chief, is going to get in touch with your fire chief to coordinate that.
Where's our fire chief was here?
Yeah, he just left, I guess.
Okay.
And then
we have three firemen here.
And then on September 28th, we're having a beach walk, which is also being hosted by the Pleasure Island Day of Hope, and that's for breast cancer, raising funds for breast cancer. And that will go to the New Hanover Regional Pink Ribbon Project. So we would like you to be a part of that also. I brought a poster, which I would like to know if you would put up for us.
And certainly will.
Maybe link our website onto your town website so that we can get the word out that way.
Thank you. And if you will, give that to Nancy. Thanks. Thanks, Jess.
Thank you.
And we appreciate it. We'll be there. Kathleen?
Good evening, Council. Mayor Lambert asked me to be here today to clarify some misunderstandings in regard to pre-firm, post-firm, and Streeter Water Act. So, being the charts, facts, and graphics person that I am, I made something for you guys.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Try to make it as simple as possible. It's a complex issue.
Hey.
How are you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
There you go.
What I gave you was a comparison. I know that there's a lot of buzz around about what happened with Biggers Water and the flood insurance rates going up. Basically, Congress was getting ready to pass a bill that they were not going to fund the National Flood Insurance Program anymore. Over the past three or four years, the National Flood Insurance Program has been funded on 6 month increments. 6 months, day before the ending of that 6 months, it would get funded for 6 months, 6 months, 6 months. So we're going along every 6 months, which has caused a real ripple to the home building and the real estate community, because you don't know if in a week or a few days there's going to be subsidies. And it came to that 6 month edge every single time. What we do know is that due to the hurricanes and due to other natural disasters around the country, the flood insurance program has gone bankrupt. And the reason why they would do it every 6 months is because they don't know how much money they could get allocated from Congress to fund it again. So it was putting along every 6 months. So what they decided to do in a transportation bill is say, okay, we're going to fund it. We're going to add some comments because nobody knew. But what we're going to do is we're going to slowly, if you have your primary residence, or if you have your primary residence, you're okay for now. We're going to talk about that with the chart. But anytime there's going to be a change in ownership, a lapse in coverage, if you are a repetitive loss property, meaning you lose 50% of your value every single time within a five-year period for a total of 3 to 5 times, you're considered a repetitive loss property. You are too high of a risk. So what they're trying to do is push as many people out as they can, as slowly and kindly as they can. And that's what led us to Biggers Water 12. Now, one of the misconfusions out there is, what is pre-firm and what is post-firm? What's an elevation certificate? Am I in what's going on? If you look at the little chart that I got, and this was at Port Beach and Waterway meeting, we were talking about this, which is why Dean wanted me to come and explain. Pre-firm and post-firm. Firm is the maps that came out, and they came out around 1974. So there's pre-firm construction and there's post-firm construction, and there is a difference. Biggers Water most of the effects pre-firm properties. And why is that? If you look at the chart I gave you, you'll find out that the flood insurance premium for these pre-firm structures are subsidized at the same cost regardless of flood risk. So what they basically did is they mapped out these areas where you're prone to flooding, lumped everybody in, and gave them subsidies. At the time, they did not use elevation certificates. At the time, they didn't care how high your house was above the mean water level and everything else, everybody's lumped in. Post-firm was a little different. That's when they started looking at elevations. And that's when they said, okay, not everybody is going to pay the same. You are going to pay based on your risk. So if you look at, there's some numbers on here based on $75,000 of building coverage, you'll see with the pre-firm construction, basically everybody was paying pretty much the same. Post-firm construction, you'll see the variances depending on how far you are up above the waterline. I cannot emphasize enough for the council to get out to the residents the importance of elevation certificates, because everybody's panicking, and they should be to a certain degree. Not everybody's going to be affected. Some people may be unaffected, some people their rates may go down. A lot of it depends on the elevation certificate. There are a few things we do know. For those pre-firm subsidies, they're going to be gone. If there is a change in ownership or a lapse in coverage, they're going to be gone. If it's a primary residence, you are okay for now. You may see a 10% or 20% increase over a 10-year period. But if that property changes ownership, that person is going to be kicked out and not subsidized. And it is a problem.
Would you tell us what the insurance salesmen are trying to tell you about this there in the turmoil?
You know, I cannot emphasize enough that we know what's going on, we know what's happening, and yes, we were hit. And this was snuck in at the last minute, and their thing was, look, you know, it's better than the uncertainty of every 6 months, which actually put a halt to those real estate business. People didn't close. But I think it's important to have a very good, well-educated insurance representative. They're not all, I'm hearing mixed things from people. You need to know, are you pre-firm or are you post-firm? You need to have an elevation certificate. What does that elevation certificate show? Is there a change in ownership in the property? That seller's going to be buying that property? That seller is going to go to an insurance salesman and say, I need to get insurance for this property so I can secure a mortgage. And that insurance salesman is going to go, well, that's a pre-firm house. You were subsidized by the federal government many years. Look at the difference in price. Look at the difference in $355 to $10,000 versus $555 to $16,000 all the way at the end. This is really important because post-firm were not subsidized as heavily as pre-firm. And that is a difference that people need to understand. Because if you are post-firm, you are already paying higher than what you would have been in a pre-firm. So everybody's rates go up, we don't know. But if you have a buyer ready to purchase property, they need to converse with an insurance representative, they need to get an elevation certificate, they need to figure it out if that's pre-firm or post-firm, and they need to work those numbers. And every situation is going to be slightly different. Out in the Ohio, you know, in the middle of the country where there are rivers, that's one situation. We have an Atlantic Ocean. The one thing we have here is we have the mean water line, we have the Atlantic Ocean. It's unique to the coast versus rivers, but rivers are flood as well. How many times have you watched TV and there goes the Mississippi River and all the homes floating down? So it's an issue, but the most important thing is be educated on the topic. Know what your house is, get an elevation certificate, talk to an insurance salesman, and is your home pre-firm or post-firm? Because those are important things to understand. And that's where, you know, it's important that the right information gets out. Did I clarify your question?
Yes, you did.
From the meeting on Thursday?
Yes. I thought there was some question as to what, you know, what we were doing, but thank you very much. Thanks for coming.
Oh, you're welcome.
Thanks.
Emily, any questions?
No, thank you.
You understand it all. Makes sense to you all. Well, I've been trying to wrap my head around Bigger's water, so I'll just email you that
monster. Well, I guess, you know, I don't get flood insurance, but hopefully Kiri Beach will be better off than other places. But I agree that we really need to do some educating for our residents, and that's why I'm going to ask later to bring some speakers in at the next council meeting to do that.
Two things to remember. Now I'm a half as glasses half full person, so I'm not trying to, you know, put sunshine on a rainy parade. But this could potentially force more private insurance into the flood insurance market. Because what a lot of people don't understand is flood insurance is subsidized by the federal government. The federal government is flood. The wind and hail policies by federal statute are governed by the departments of insurance per state. So the state governs the wind and hail and homeowners. The federal does the flood. And up until this time, not many insurers, private insurers, insured for flood. There were Lloyd's of London, and there were other larger companies who had big investments in the reinsurance market doing this. Mm-hmm. What's happening now is more your, I guess, State Farm or whatever they are, Farm Bureau or whatever, they're looking at this now. They're looking at possibly wrapping up the wind and hail homeowners into a possible flood. That is just starting to happen. Maybe if it goes in the free market, we will see some of the rates go down. And the one thing I always say in politics, my favorite two words are, for now. Does this look bad? For now, yes. Does this mean it's going to be disastrous in 2, 3, 4 years down the road? I don't know. But I am optimistic that if we get good people working on this, we get some insurance companies ready to cover this, that we might be able to bring these rates down. The other thing is a community rating system. I urge all of you to see if you could take advantage of some of the federal government breaks through community rating systems. And the third thing is, there is an appeals process. There is an appeals process. So if you find in your community, Curry Beach isn't as bad as Wrightsville and some other places, but if you find that it is, and it might be worth looking into the appeals process, and I have the pertinent parts of the statute for you as well to help your people with. So I just
want to
leave on a high note here.
Thank you.
On another higher note, at one of the meetings I attended several months ago, the other alternative they talked about was if you could afford to pay cash for your house and put your savings aside instead of paying $18,000 to $30,000 a year for insurance, put that amount aside every year so when you do have a disaster, you'll have money to pay for it. Of course, if you have a mortgage, you can't do that.
Right, but I think what you're going to see is what you're seeing now is the panic, and then it's going to subside, and people are thinking. They're thinking, what are we going to do? And of course, just like with any crisis, for lack of a better word, that's where the ideas, the creativity, how are we going to handle this? So now we know this is here. Let's figure out ways to work around it, and let's figure out how to deal with it, and then in 2 to 3 years, once it might not be as bad as people say. We just don't know. But keep in mind the pre and post firm and the elevation certificate.
Well, Kathleen, we appreciate all the work you do on this and keep us informed of any changes.
Okay, I will. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you. Jim, please tell us about the beach.
Hey, we need to vote to let Steve make a motion. We let Steve Fagley join the council.
Second.
All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye. Welcome back.
Welcome back, Steve. Just an update for some of you on Port Beach and Waterway meetings, because most of the meetings are also, besides myself, are attended by Emily and the mayor. And matter of fact, last one, John Batson was there too. We almost had a quorum. So there's more than one person listening and able to put the information out. Just on the beach renourishment project, there's been a total of $4.2 million that's been taken out of room occupancy tax for both of the towns. Cary Beach had 590,000 cubic feet of sand, and Carolina Beach had 989. There are also, the county is still looking at the process for self-funding and self-permitting for both beach renourishment and for the inlet dredging. There hasn't been anything that's been voted on one way or the other by the county commissioners, which is the first step that's going to have to be done before anything can be presented to any of the towns.
Jim, that $4 million plus, was that before or after the Corps of Engineers found the additional money and paid us back?
That, from my understanding from talking to Layton, that was the final number.
It was after.
After they went searching through all their other projects for the change.
Okay, thank you.
One other subject that's probably going to be heard more of in the near future is the U.S. Fish and Wildlife Service has proposed a federal law making an awful lot of shoreline endangered habitat for sea turtles. And all of New Hanover County and I think all of Brunswick County are involved in it, or potentially involved in it. There was a public session that was given at UNCW a couple of weeks ago that our mayor spoke at, and Emily was also there. There were about 60 people in attendance. And what it was an input session where the audience spoke. There wasn't any back and forth. So the audience spoke to the fish and wildlife people about how they felt about the act itself. It was explained to us just before the meeting opened to the public that initially there was to be no change in what's going on with the towns and the beaches that front the towns. They basically said, you don't want fires built on your beach, that's fine, federal government doesn't want to control that. You want to dig holes in your beach, federal government doesn't control that. But the way the law is written, we are untouched by now, but there are a whole list of potential impacts, all of which, at least the way I'm reading them, are basically negative. Would you agree? And so if they don't do anything, that's fine, but somebody somewhere is going to look and say, we haven't given them a rule in 3 years, let's pick one. And it's going to have a negative impact. There were a number of people that discussed the turtles. Every single person that talked about the turtle and the turtle preservation was positive about turtle preservation. Every single person, whether they were the mayor of the town, whether they were from the turtle group, they were all positive. They all wanted to continue with what was being done. Most of the people in the area that have turtle projects are, the standards that they go by are higher than the federal required standards. So the general question that was asked by the speakers was, if we're doing a better job than the federal government wants us to do, why are you messing with us? So there were probably, I think, about five people that were strictly from the turtle organizations that spoke, and half of them were against the new law and the other half were for it. So there's going to be a series of these meetings throughout the area on the coast from here to Florida. And then they'll take it back and study and do whatever they do in Washington. But we're keeping an eye on it, and we'll be updated as to how things are going, and somebody here will bring it back.
Do you want to continue our discussion with this now, or wait till we get on old business?
Well, I think Jim pretty much firmed it up. Do you want to?
Is there anything that either of you or John that I missed to touch on?
Well, there were a couple of other things. I think probably Bob Lewis said it better than anybody, and unfortunately I don't have a copy of his presentation, but he was talking about how few turtles we have on Pleasure Island.
Yes.
And even Brunswick County. Versus everything else from here to Arkansas. I mean, Georgia right now has almost 2,500.
Yeah, they gave a state-by-state nesting number. And we were the lowest, and the next highest was significantly higher. Basically, we were like 1% of the total, 100% of nested or hatched.
That was one of the main things that they were saying, we shouldn't have to be designated this.
Now, what the county's trying to do is kind of split the data. They have put together a recommendation that they're sending that is going to ask that if this has to be implemented, that the county feels that it should be implemented from the rocks down at Fort Fisher to where Corn Cake Inlet was. And since that's all uninhabited part of Pleasure Island, and it can't be, we can't have any control over Bald Head because it's not in our county. But Bald Head has a large number of nests that occur on their property, but they're outside the county, so they're not in our jurisdiction.
The other issue that came up by the Association of Realtors over in Brunswick County that I thought was very interesting because it really impacts us more than it does Brunswick County had to do with Sunny Point being exempt from any designation, and they have a whole thing with woodpeckers over there. And that instead they have a plan on how they're going to address that and without being designated a critical habitat. And the Board of Realtors over there was asking for us to do the same thing, as since we are so near and part of Sunny Point that we come underneath their plan and let them add turtles to it.
Well, they probably blow up their turtles.
And exempt us from being designated. So I thought that was an interesting, you know, look at it. I don't really see how that works because Sunny Point isn't over here with the turtles, but I thought it was interesting that they brought that up.
So representatives of council will be updated because the council goes to the meeting, and we'll keep an eye on it. Anybody have any questions? Yes, sir.
Yeah, Jim, I was going to ask, since there's not a lot, doesn't appear to be a lot of support in many of the states to do this.
Right.
Is there a reason it's being pushed lawsuits?
They have had several lawsuits. And chime in if you want to add anything, our Board of Realtors back there. They've had several lawsuits the last few years that say, yeah, this act was passed back in the 1970s, but you've never implemented it. And it's time you got your house in order and started implementing it. So, you know, not only is there the possibility that if they designate us and they say, oh, but we're not going to do anything to you, not only somebody on the staff in the future could change that, but a judge could change that. Because somebody could go back to court again and say, yeah, you said you were going to implement it, but you're only talking about inlet dredging or beach renourishment. You're not talking about everything all these people are doing up there on the north end or, you know, everywhere else. And so, I just lost my
Well, one of the things the Carolina Beach mayor stressed was that in the law, it stresses that they need wide, smooth beaches to nest on.
Yeah.
And he says, also, one of the things that potentially could be stopped is beach renourishment. Right. So you lose your wide, smooth beaches.
And shoreline modification.
So you're cutting off your nose to spite your face in order to
they emphasize that what they want to do is stop beach renourishment during the turtle season, which we don't do anyway. In inlet dredging, I think we had something in July, which could be questionable, but if we had a storm that comes under FEMA, that would be much more important than what this would, and we could go on with that. But this could go to court again, and a judge could decide that we will have to do all of these things, whether the feds are involved with our properties or not, that individual private property owners, you know, would have certain limitations. And I think that's the greatest fear, that there's so much government interference here. It would be nice if they just would not put us on the list and let us take care of everything like we've been doing.
Well, and part of it is hidden from us because the law goes out to the water depth of 20 meters. So they also can cover from 20 meter depth up to the vegetation line.
That's another.
And the fish is going to get crazier.
It's just another way that the government, the federal government, can put three or four more layers of bureaucracy on us, and we don't need it.
They can point it going.
I have to agree with you.